chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hey, this is Cece Coleman from First Date. You can catch me on FUBAR Radio. This is just a little reminder, if you're thinking about going out or you have been out, please, please, please stay at home. This isn't about you. There is a bigger picture to all of this. We need to be thinking about everyone else. We need to come together because we are all in this together. Hey, this is Cece Coleman from First Dates. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Here is Maceo.
But you know, I feel like DJs are timeless. Whereas for if you're an MC, that's relentless. You know, for you to stay relevant is a relentless task. For a DJ, like, we are timelessly relevant.
Well, I feel like the true essence of an MC, most of them DJ at some point. So the ones that are timeless, they did rock them turntables a little bit. Like, I've seen Jay-Z play around.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I'm saying? Like, he can catch that beat. Posh used to be a DJ. Dave can DJ. Dave does DJ. He's just a closet DJ. And, you know, I think at a certain stage, too, as we get older with it, we become a bit more than DJs. We become musicologists.
What's your first ever memory of hip-hop?
My first memory of hip-hop was this block party on Hancock Street between Marcy and Nostrand. I lived on the corner building, building number 231. These DJs in my building set up a sound system. It had to be somewhere like 77. It was the first time I saw somebody go back and forth with good times, get down, good times, get down, good, get, good, get, good. And back then, as basic as that sound, that was hard to do. With those cartridges that they had back then, the belt drive turntables back then, the Stanton 500s, you know, needles like that. Like, you had used to have to put, like, a penny or a nickel on there just to keep the weight down, you know, heavy enough to be able to dig in the groove, to hold the groove. You know what I mean? Like, those was amazing times.
And that's one of the things that I think is so incredible about the hip-hop story. When you think about it, we created this multi-billion dollar industry where people are eating off this 4 decades later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always said hip-hop gave jobs to people who don't even like hip-hop. I think it was a movement, you know, overall, with just hip-hop and it being a rebel style of music. You know, George Clinton would say any record that pissed off parents was the hit record, you know. What I can appreciate that it's standing the test of time. It's not that passing phase or fad that people thought it was going to be. I think we're coming up on a phase now where it's okay to even look at hip-hop as an adult. No one was looking at the success value. We was looking at the fact that someone was willing to at least invest in our creative ability. And having the opportunity to get whatever budget that was presented and create this music. And then where it went from there, I mean, of course, we hoped that it did well, you know. It was definitely a life-changing experience. It brought it to where it is now. I mean, it was so big in a short period of time, it was scary. We couldn't even meet the demand of what was happening, you know. All we knew was how to create. We didn't know how to perform. We didn't know the next level of where this need to go from just hanging out in the club, you know what I mean? Now it's time we hitting arenas and doing all these kind of track dates and performing for all different types of people and not really grasping even the demographics, the territory of, like, performing in Texas is way different than performing in New York. Going through the ups and downs of sucking as a performer, like really performing horribly, you know, figure it out, basically.
So how did you learn all of that then, about how you put a show together?
When we finally got on tour with LL Cool J, the Nitro tour, when we got on that tour is when the concept of performing on different levels came into play. And this was 1989. Just graduated high school, and 2.5, 3 weeks later, I was on that tour. And we didn't have experience for that major slot, so we were to open an act. Kane was strong that year. Slick Rick was strong that year. You had P.E. on a tour, Chubb Rock on a tour, Tone Loc on a tour, Hammer on a tour, 357, J.J. Fad, N.W.A., Too Short. EPMD was on that tour. The shows that was really monumental to us was N.W.A., and I'll say Kane, and L.O. P.E. also, because P.E. had the raw energy. And then you still just had hip-hop as a bubbling culture.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
My guest is Angela Barnes.
Hello.
I got your iPod, well, your iPhone.
Yeah.
On shuffle in front of me. I am going to take the plunge first. I always think it's fairer to do that.
Okay.
But how are you feeling about yours?
I'm a bit nervous because I looked at it this morning and went, I should delete some stuff, and then I didn't. I thought, that's not the game.
Yes.
So I haven't deleted some stuff. But there's things on there. My worry is because a lot of it is nostalgic stuff. So yeah. I know it's rubbish.
Okay.
But it's because it reminds me of a time or a thing.
Is that the stuff you would have deleted?
Yeah, probably.
What stuff were you planning on deleting?
I think the thing I would have deleted most, if it comes up... See, now I'm going to say what it is and it might not even come up, but it's sure. Things like... It's my mum's a really big fan of Elkie Brooks.
What's Elkie Brooks? I don't even know Elkie Brooks.
She was a singer, like... she did lots of cover versions and stuff.
Right.
Her real name's Elaine Bookbinder. Yeah, brilliant name. Elaine Bookbinder. Why would you change that? And my mum was a big fan, so I grew up and it was always Elkie Brooks records playing. So they remind me of my mum, so I've got a couple of those on there, and I almost deleted them.
No.
But didn't.
That's good reason. You have stuff that reminds you of your parents,
But I think the thing is, because I'm old school, like, I listen to CDs still, so it's not like my entire music collection's on there. It's very select things that are on there for when I'm walking about, that's what I want to listen to.
Yeah,
I'm just getting all the disclaimers in.
All of them, man. Just like, nothing on here is your fault at all.
Yeah, nothing's my fault. In fact, I don't like any of them, actually, so,
I've got albums on here that are just because they got played in the car when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But they're really good as well.
Yeah.
But then I've got loads of really embarrassed ones that I can't blame.
Parents that were cool. I wish I had parents that were into Jimi Hendrix. I didn't. Yeah. I had parents that were into Elkie Brooks and Meat Loaf.
Yeah. But then what happens is all the embarrassed stuff on my iPod is me.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I can't go, my dad listened to it. It reminds me of my dad. It's there because I genuinely liked it. And I didn't take it off my iPod. I just thought, one day I'll probably listen to that again.
Yeah.
So I've got plenty of stuff that's embarrassing enough. Well, let's see what the first one on my iPod is. So, let's see. First song from my iPod today. Kanye West with Stronger. I've started off with a single. That rarely happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that got played on the radio, normally anyway. Yeah. So, that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's like a normal radio show almost.
Yeah. It's almost just
a Kanye single. That's what you do.
I'm
so nervous right now, I can't... I feel a bit sick about what's going to happen.
I was having a chat about Kanye West literally today with Nish Kumar.
Oh, yeah.
About awards. And because he's done the whole thing where
he's sabotaged things.
Yeah. I didn't even know this until today.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I've just read all the comments and stuff about it, but I didn't really...
Always if Beyonce doesn't win. So if Beyonce's nominated and she doesn't win...
He kicks
Kanye
off.
Kanye walks on stage, so I think...
It was Taylor Swift he did.
He went... I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce should have won this award. And then we went back to his seat. And there's shots in the audience of, Beyonce and Jay-Z being like, no!
Stop it!
Kanye,
oh,
stop!
God.
And then, he did it with Beck. But he didn't say anything. He just walked on, pulled a face like he didn't agree with it because Beyonce didn't win and then sat down again. Which
Why is he just nominated himself as Beyonce's spokesperson?
You kind of wonder either he's decided awards are so stupid that I'm just going to make fun of them every time, which is cool, or he's decided awards are so important that I can't stand for anyone but the best
who I think is the best
winning it. So, either he's really cool or he's a real dick.
I'm going to go for the latter.
Yeah. His other behaviour. But I always think whenever people in the public eye act really, really weird, they're either genuinely like that and they can't handle where they are, or they are just going, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to...
Going to highlight how ridiculous it is.
Yeah. It's like Joaquin Phoenix when he did the whole... fake breakdown, and there's the film. Have you seen the film? It's called I'm Still Here. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Watch it, it's good.
Right.
It's not amazing, but it's good. And it's like, that film when he went on Letterman and he had grown that big beard, he had shades
on. Oh, yeah.
It was chewing gum.
Yeah.
And it was everyone made fun of him for having a breakdown, but it was all fake. It was all him kind of going, Because he just had his most successful year. He'd been nominated in the Oscars and all this. So then the next year he went, oh, here's how much people really care about celebrities. I'm going to deliberately act weird and see how many of you suddenly reach out to me. And obviously no one does. Everyone makes fun of you. No one cares what you've done in the past. It's now just like you're the pariah and that. So it was quite... It was a really good documentary for that.
Yeah.
So now with Kanye... All I think, if you keep thinking is...
Is there a documentary coming?
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's going to do a whole thing. Sample on there from Daft Punk.
Oh.
You pro-sample?
It doesn't bother me. I think when it first started in the late 80s and people started sampling and stuff, and there was a big sort of purist thing about, you can't do that, that's not...
Yeah.
But it's been done so well that...
Yeah.
Why not?
With that one, though... The Kanye one, I think he's just done the exact.
Yeah.
He's just going, I really like that song.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so either be a cover or do something with a sample. Don't.
Do something totally different.
It should be a grey area.
Looking at your iPod.
Oh, God.
Now.
I feel sick.
what are you hoping for? What would be the best outcome?
The best outcome would be there's not much good on it that would make me look cool. I think the best outcome would be something like a public service broadcasting track, because that's like quite cool and quite.
Yeah.
So thank you, God, I didn't actually doubt it, because that U2 album was on there and I got rid of that, so that's good because it's on my iPhone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's not going to come up. But there's some classic 80s G's on there, there really is.
How did you feel? Were you angry with the U2?
It just seemed. A really silly thing to do. Like, I don't know what they thought was going to happen. Everyone's going to go, oh, thanks, Bono.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of sinister.
Yeah.
You can just have someone's music appear on your...
Yes.
I found it sinister. And it's like, what did they think was going to happen?
Yeah. You know? It's like if someone... It's like having a secret admirer who just puts their name on it.
Yeah, exactly.
To give themselves away immediately.
Or like somebody snuck into your bedroom and popped a CD in your... You know, it's
I probably
just...
like that, but like, yeah. But yeah, it was weird. If you are a U2 fan and you love them, and then you wake up and suddenly a U2 album is on your iTunes, I bet they were delighted.
But wouldn't it be better to go, hey guys, do you want a free download? Have a free download, and you opt in, rather than have to opt out.
Yeah.
That would have got them way more kudos, because then everyone's happy. Because then the U2 fans are happy because they got their free album.
Yeah.
People who don't like them are happy because they don't have to have a free album.
Yep.
Why would you... I just don't know what they thought was going to happen, how they thought everyone was suddenly going to go, oh, aren't they lovely?
Yeah. They should have just done a really silly album, because they're too earnest a band.
Yeah,
if they had done a really stupid album and they're doing fart noises with their mouth...
Yeah, just put that on it.
I would have loved it, waking up and going, oh, great, it's Bono doing a fart noise. Anyway.
Oh, God, here we go.
Angela Barnes' iPod is about to go on shuffle. Let's see what happens. Duran Duran Rio.
Oh, hello.
I think you've got to be feeling pretty good about
that. I'm pretty happy with that. That's, you know. It's a cool song. It's retro cool.
It's a cool song. If that comes on in a club, everyone's going to dance to
everyone's
that.
Everyone's happy.
No one's going to go, oh, no.
Yeah.
Not Duran Duran.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're totally home free there. Do you like the soft drink Rio?
I do, actually. I like the tropical one. Because there's two, aren't there? There's tropical and I can't remember what they call the other one. I like the more mango-y one.
Yeah, 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 of course. Yeah. Which it feels more like what they were drinking that song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, feels more tropical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favourite soft drink?
I'm a Diet Coke addict.
Yeah? Well, you just pointed at your bottle there, but that's Coca-Cola Life.
That's Coca-Cola Life. Do you know what? I know. It looks like I've just been conned by the advertising.
I haven't dared try that yet.
Well, the thing is, right, this is so boring, but
no.
I'm addicted. When I gave up smoking 5 years ago, I started drinking Diet Coke way too much.
Right.
But the aspartame in Diet Coke is really bad for you. Right, I know it's all bad for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But and I drank so much of it that it started making me ill.
Okay.
So I had to stop drinking Diet Coke. But drinking full-fat Coke is obviously just full of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is sort of a happy medium, because this hasn't got aspartame in it, it's got stevia, but it has also got shitloads of sugar.
Yes.
So this is what I'm using to wean myself off.
Okay.
It's a proper addiction.
They call it Coca-Cola Life as well, which I think is a sneaky...
And they put a green label on it to make you think it's healthy. That's 60% of the sugar of the normal Coke.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's not healthy.
Looks like a meadow, that green.
Exactly.
Green.
They've made it. It's like when they started making McDonald's all green.
Yep.
Like, how stupid do you think we are? Who's going to McDonald's for a salad? No one.
Yep.
Is. But I was talking, a little name drop, but I did a TV thing with Ross Noble and he had a Diet Coke addiction.
Right.
Because he saw I was drinking loads of Diet Coke doing the thing and he said he had hypnotherapy.
Really?
Over his. It's properly addictive.
That bad?
It's really bad.
Gosh.
If I go to bed and I know there's no Diet Coke in the house, I can't sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, that's bad, right?
One Edinburgh, there were four of us in the flat and I only saw the other two of the other guys. One guy, we never saw him, and we only knew he was in the flat because there's a pile of 1 litre Pepsi bottles that would just get bigger each day because he drank like about 2 litres a day.
Wow, it's so bad.
And that was
bad.
Proper, like just hooked on it.
I'll drink two of these bottles a day, like these 500ml bottles a day. So that's a litre a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot of that.
So bad. But I keep telling myself better than smoking 20 a day, right? Right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Well, who knows?
It's better than whatever. But then I've started eating those naked bars.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes I just go, well, I'm going to have so many of them. And he's going, I'm pretty sure this has now added up to the amount of sugar that would have been in a Mars bar.
Yeah.
If I'd done it.
Yeah,
I've now had that many.
Today.
Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
We are very lucky to be joined right now by a legend.
I'm laughing already.
Absolute legend, Ramesh Ranganathan on the line. Good sir.
Hello, sir.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Very well. No worries. You're currently sitting in a hotel room, I believe.
I'm in Edinburgh, mate, just in my own filth.
Really? You're in Edinburgh?
Wallowing in your own filth.
Oh, mate, it's just so appalling. Me in hotels is unacceptable. I'm barely human, mate. Like,
you're
horrible.
You're in Edinburgh now, so typical comedian, you're like a month and a half late for the festival.
yeah, man. I just think, you know, I want to make it harder for people to come and see me. So dedicated. You know, I don't want people just turning up when other people are there.
No.
So you come
no
and see me outside the festival.
We have been chatting today about a story out of the States where a lady is trying to sue her 8-year-old nephew for accidentally breaking her wrists.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we think too right. Kids get away with too much. Kids should be sued far more often. What would you like to sue any kids for?
I just think sort of, you know, one of the things I think is it annoys me that I have to get birthday presents for the kids, right? And I tell you why. They have done nothing to ensure their survival. Like, my second son, right, has barely got an instinct. That kid has tried to kill himself every day for a year, messing around with plugs, jumping into the bath. And then at the end of the year, we've managed to keep you alive, mate. Why are you getting a gift? You need to give me a present. You need to give me a present saying thank you for keeping me on this earth. Do you know what I mean? I resent it, man.
Fuck's sake.
Take him to court.
Yeah.
Take him to court, mate.
Mate, I'm going to have to, mate.
It's going
to
be payday, buddy. Payday.
So, Asian provocateur.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, I can relate to this. Being from an ethnic minority myself, Hugh being Welsh and Australian,
thank you
can
very much.
Relate as well.
That's
you know?
A minority as well, thank you.
He's
thank
a minority you. As well. And it's about basically you growing up, you know, the term, the phrase, when in Rome springs to mind, you know, you integrate, don't you? You act like the sort of the majority. But your mum wasn't too happy with this, was she?
Well, basically, it's the sort of, you know, it sort of came from, like, I'd sort of done a routine about the fact that my mum was sort of, you know, I got this proud, beautiful heritage that I didn't know anything about, and my mum was worried because I've got kids, and she's thinking, you know, they're not going to know anything about our background or whatever because you don't know anything, because you're dumb and you haven't bothered to find out anything.
Mm.
So, like, we sort of had this idea of, you know, me going back and my mum sort of giving me, like, a crash course in Sri Lanka, because I think it's something that affects, You know, second generation, you know, ethnic minorities. You know, how connected are you with your past?
Of course.
You know, I'm a proud Englishman, and I love being English. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you have to ignore what came before.
Of
do you know
course.
What I mean? And
of course,
you know, you've got that. You can be English and also be proud of your heritage.
Yeah.
So it felt like an important, you know, I say important, I'm sounding worthy here. It felt like a TV show that I could do, do you know what I mean? That's the honest truth of it. But you know, it was a good experience, man. And like, it's me, do you know what I mean? Like, that show is me. So you sort of think, well, I'm proud of that, regardless of how it gets received. I'm proud of that show, and you know, we got hip hop all over it because I'm a hip hop fan.
Yes,
you know, all
you
of
are.
Those things. It's purely me. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm happy. I'm proud of it, and it seems to be. Hopefully, people like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but it's. No, it's very popular among you know, among my circle of friends. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Oh,
everyone's like really loving it. And what were some of your favourite moments while filming it?
I think just sort of going to, you know, when I don't know how much of it you've seen, but there's in the second episode I go to this village where my family originated from, and like, basically, I'm related to everyone in that village. I just had no idea, right? And like for them, it was like a massive, like, my
basically, my granddad was the only person from that village that had ever left that village to go elsewhere.
Right.
And then his children went off all over the world.
Yeah.
And so for them, it was a massive deal for me to go back and visit the village. But I wasn't even aware of that whole backstory. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I went back in and it was very emotional. But I also felt ashamed that I hadn't known anything about it up to that point. And I was genuinely sort of overwhelmed on the show. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And I'm thinking, I need to be funny here, man. This is bad. I'm like crying. This is awful.
No, no, but it must. No, I can understand how it'd be genuinely overwhelming and how you'd feel a bit guilty that you hadn't. You know, I was literally just talking to my dad last night. You know, he was talking about the fact that, you know, I haven't been back because my parents are both Nigerian, and he was talking about the fact that I haven't been back since I was 11. And I was just like, you know, I felt really guilty. But then I thought, wait a minute, last time I went there, they stole all my fucking clothes anyway. You know what I mean?
And that's the culture, Michael. That's
that
the
is, yeah. Yeah. You come from the West, innit? You come with gifts, innit? And then you must have, you know, you coming with, like, you know, like, with a fucking TV crew, mate. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That must have been some next shit when they saw you come in.
Yeah, you feel, to be honest with you, mate, you feel like a prick because, like, you sort of go, I've decided to come back because I've got a TV show. Do you know what I mean? That's the only reason I'm coming back to visit. Feel like...
To make fun of you, are you?
Yeah, thank you very much for coming and making comedy out of your routine, mate. It's like a hard one, mate. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And also the same things that you said, you know, it's you know, a lot of my family live in quite, you know, my relatives live in quite basic conditions and stuff. And then you come in and, like, I went to, they wanted me to stay at their house, but they all slept outside on the veranda and the toilet is just like a hole in the ground, you know, in the floor. And I'm sort of going, oh, God, I'm a privileged Westerner. I can't stay in these. And you just think, that's your family, mate.
Yeah.
You knock it up.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. I pretty much, slummed it, man. When I, last time I went to Nigeria, it was the same sort of thing. They live in a lot of my family are from very rural areas. So, you know, we washed outside. Yeah. You know, like you said, the toilet was a hole in the ground. Like, but it was fun, you know what I mean? Especially at the time I had a brand of trainers called LA Lights. Yeah. And they were LA Gears, but with little lights in the...
Space boots.
Yeah. At night, I was worshipped.
Oh, I bet you were.
I was literally worshipped.
Mate, I can completely relate to both you guys because of myself being a minority here in London, a Welsh Australian, that when I went back to Wales to really connect with my roots, I got really, really emotional too because I always thought the Welsh rarebits was referencing my dick, but it turns out the Welsh rarebits is a meal, and I was like, oh, man.
I just need to clarify this. You thought the term Welsh rarebit was a specific reference to your dick.
Absolutely. And I thought,
not genitals in general.
No.
Just your Hughes.
Dick. Everyone was talking about my dick.
What an arrogant. Do you know in Wales they got a phrase? It's just about my dick. my lineage is so strong that they've actually just devoted a phrase to my dick.
Yeah, and it existed before I was born as well.
Well, that's
they
right.
Knew I was coming.
They knew my dick was going to be arriving in generations to come.
Yeah.
So they set up this. They wanted to come up with a name that was good enough, worthy of my dick.
The second coming, literally. The second coming all over your face. Oh, absolutely.
Wow, this has gone downhill quickly.
Of course. It's with us to do a show, mate. It's never too long before it goes downhill really, really, really fast.
But can I just take this opportunity to say, Michael, I'm such a huge fan, mate.
Likewise, sir.
Dude, I just think you're incredible, man.
Thank you very much.
Fresh air, and I just think keep doing what you're doing. I think you're amazing. Like, please carry on, man. You're amazing.
I will do. That's very flattering.
Oh, bless.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that was really sweet. I really like that. Oh,
much love, man.
And also, I'm a big fan of your dick as well.
Your little Welsh rabbit.
I tell you what, my little Welsh rabbit, he's coming up. He's getting there.
Look at that. He's getting excited.
Hey, here he goes, a little Welsh rabbit. We're big fans of you too, Ramesh, Rang and Nathan. Thank you so much, mate, and congratulations.
Cheers,
on all the success. And we really look forward to seeing what you get up to with new tours and new TV and stuff.
Yes.
Cool. Cheers, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No worries, sir. Pleasure, anytime.
Mate.
Much love, sir.
A legend.
See ya. Bye.
See you in a bit, mate.
Screen Talk with Dan Clark on FIBA Radio.
Ashley.
Yes, Dan.
Maybe you can help me with this. I've seen movies, right?
You know,
yeah, I've seen movies. We talk about them here. Some, there are a lot of films, as you know, being Irish yourself, lot of people in the New York of America love to say they're Irish.
Yes.
Even though their grandma was Irish 17 generations ago.
Yeah, but that can I say shit stinks? That yeah, that doesn't wear off. It's like a mushroom on a tree. You
Is
can
it?
Cut it off, but it keeps growing back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you say that like it's something you can't help.
Yes, I don't think you can help being Irish. I think it kind of sits in your blood. Also, there's recently...
It's like Guinness, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, until the next morning, it doesn't really... there's been recent studies that show things like starvation pass through the DNA of people. So in general, people who've come from backgrounds where their parents have been starved or anything like that, it sits in your DNA and kind of trickles down. Yeah.
There's been scientific...
So it kind of passes on. So similarly, I think with like, especially if things are overbearing things like cultural or religious or something like that, like in Ireland, people are obsessed with buying houses and land and owning land.
Yeah.
And the idea of needing to kind of give an up yours to the past where our land was taken away from us, like Irish people in general, that's what kind of almost caused a recession, this kind of obsession of owning your own property and land. And the same with like they say in China, people are kind of obsessed with meat because it was this giant this is not filmy at all, is it?
it's
bang off brand for the podcast, but that there was this obsession of eating meat all the time because they were starved for so long and none of the Western world knew about this big famine that happened in China.
But do American, Irish and ancestors? No.
Descendants.
Descendants, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Do they talk about the famine if it didn't happen to them?
I think it's more, so a lot of the people who went over would have been people who helped build America and were fleeing, fleeing hunger, which is something you can flee.
Well, they heard about all the hamburgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We gotta get a New York City. But I think the biggest thing is the effect of the Catholic Church. It's rare in any country of the world where there is one religion. Mm-hmm. Like still, in a recent census, 96% of Ireland were Catholic in this modern day age, and the other 14% were ghosts. So
I've heard about the ghost community. So in a lot of films about New York cops, when a cop dies and all the cops go to the funeral and they're all Irish, they play bagpipes, and I'm wondering where that comes from.
I think maybe a group of Irish people had one Scottish friend when America started,
and it passed down,
all of his sons since has
they did a genre mashup. On the way to New York.
It was like that Run DMC song versus Master J.
Or like Naina Cherry and Youssou N'Dour. They were mixing different cultures. But they did it on the boat to New York. So when they got there, everyone was like, oh, bagpipes are Irish, right?
Exactly. And then they were like, hold on a second.
So, Aisling.
Yes.
I once said your name live on stage and you corrected me. It is pronounced Aisling, right?
It felt like if I was to have spared your feelings there and I had to change my name forever because you'd said it wrong. It felt disingenuous, so I did have to correct it.
What did I say back then? Can you remember?
Oh, I think you said Saoirse Ronan or something like that. Some other monstrosity.
No, I said, where does your name come from?
Ireland.
Yeah, well, I know that bit, but the B
I'm
is
very
not your
sassy this morning. Yeah. I told you I had.
You're annoyed because we took a photo, aren't you? That's what
I
it
am.
Is.
So,
you were on your way to the gym, and you went, "Oh, I'll stop off and do a podcast."
Yes.
And you had no idea because podcasts are traditionally an audio-only format.
Exactly.
You were like,
"So I think it's fair enough." I was not on my way to the gym, but I have dressed as if I was on my way out of the gym. I was told last night the address of this podcast.
Yeah.
I arrived here today in my crappy clothes so I could then walk home so I could get a bit of exercise out of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I arrive here, I'm told suddenly it's about films, which I can tell you right now I know nothing about. So this is going to be gold.
Film
chat.
And television.
Okay, and television. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which I know you didn't have.
I hope
when
we can
you
chat
young.
About MasterChef.
we can.
And then they want to take a photo of me in my sweaty clothes. feels like I don't have a soul or a sense of self.
This is what happens when you don't let your agent do the booking.
Yeah, I said Dan, who asked me through Facebook if I wanted to do his podcast.
I forgot that I had your actual telephone number. But if your agent had done this, they would have been demanding like hotel for overnight stay because it was at a ridiculously early time in the morning.
Yeah, and like 10 a.m.
Yeah, so I had to do it direct.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, your name, you're not... This isn't your birth name, is it, Aisling B?
Aisling is, yeah.
Aisling is.
Aisling is the Gaelic for an Irish dream or a vision. And it was this woman who was in Irish poetry as a person who would come and save Ireland from the wrath and tyranny of Britain. So, but Aisling actually just never turned up. So they were like, right. Oh, well, we just have
to. Do you feel like you're living up
tyranny.
To that?
No, I really like Britain. I really love English people. So she is a bit of a Judas as well. I think that's a new footnote on top of the Irish meaning. And then B. Was my father's name was Brian, and my real name is Aisling O'Sullivan, but there was already an Aisling O'Sullivan on the list.
What
of
are the
Irish
bloody
actors.
Chances?
Really high in Ireland. O'Sullivan, okay. Yeah, really high. So I always went by Aisling B. O'Sullivan, but like you can't be called Judy Mary Dench and go, oh no, I'm the other Judy. So I had to drop off the O'Sullivan bit.
I would have thought in England that having that name as an actress would mean you probably wouldn't be, like my name's
she
Dan Clark. Right.
Yeah.
There's no other Dan Clarks. Not really.
That's
I mean,
so
there
surprising.
Are, but when
it's
I started.
It's a really boring name.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You've actually really hit on an insecurity of mine that I've had for the last 20 years.
Really, that your name's boring.
I never liked my name, but never had the courage because I come from a sort of working class family and background where if you change your name, that's pretentious.
Like Alonzo Clark down the East End.
Yeah, or if like Bono or something, if I was called, I don't know.
What would you have chosen? As a moniker.
Well, I don't know what I would have chosen because I just didn't have the courage to do it. But I do remember at school, weirdly, when you had to write your name at the top of a paper, I was so embarrassed of my ordinary name and wanted to be different and stand out that I wrote made up like Daniel Sylvester Antonio Clark. And people believed me because why would you make that up? Why would you be that much? And 7-year-olds believe what you tell them.
Surely he can't be a prick this young. It must be his real name.
But I was a prick that young. I started at a very young age.
Dan Clark is a really solid, memorable name.
It is.
It's a really solid name. It's not embarrassing. It's not like you're called Bill. You know, it's like, well, that would be ridiculous.
Well, you say that, but because I bet you have to especially on the phone when you're calling up, you know, Virgin Media or whoever you're with, and that you have to re-say your name and spell it. But I've had that. I go Dan. They go Darren. No, Dan. Don. No, it's I mean, how easy
surely
is
nobody
it?
Be called Dan Clark.
Exactly. So where did you grow up in Ireland?
I grew up in Kildare, which is a very horsey area. It is horsey.
As in there's horses or people have sore throats?
My mother was a jockey. My father was a horse vet. Everyone in the town was into horse breeding. We breed some of the most famous racehorses around the world. There's lots of like Arab-funded stables there, which make some of the best racehorses in the world. So yeah, so you laugh, but I will not make fun of one of Ireland's biggest horse towns.
That sounds like the Wild West.
It's like a 5-horse town is the town I came from.
So you must have had an existential crisis when you realised you weren't interested in horses.
Yes, it was actually.
It's
my
like,
mother.
What else is there?
It's my mother's greatest sadness is that I'm not interested in horses.
Is it really?
Yeah, at 4 months of age, I was put up on a horse and held there to see if I'd like take to it. You know, like in Twilight, this is the sort of movies I'm into, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome
no, Twilight's
to the jungle.
Great. I like the first Twilight.
So you know when like the wolf imprints on the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes kind of, I will never not let you.
Is this in the first one?
Maybe the third one. I don't know. They all have. Okay. They're all set in the same house.
They're all
that
the
vampires, for some reason, are able to afford the rent for.
You can make a killing with PAs as a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. The wolf guy imprints on the new baby, and when a wolf imprints on something, it means it will always be together, like the way crows mate for life.
Yeah.
And so I think my mother was trying to force me to imprint on a horse and go, you will always love ponies. But instead I was like, no, not for me. And I just wanted to stay indoors and watch television.
In this day and age, that would be considered abuse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose
for
it would.
For a parent to do that. So yeah. So the area you grew up, I'll have a little chat with her. So where you grew up, was there much culture or popular culture in the sense of, did you go and see stuff or was it just TV?
Television, it's very interesting. So I've been living in England 10 years now and I miss a huge swathe of cultural references that some people have, and some people in Ireland do have. But I grew up with only two television stations, which was RTE and Network 2. And everyone in the country had those two same stations, and then some people had the box, which was how you got Channel 4 and BBC.
Is that so like a Sky thing?
Yeah, kind of now to be the equivalent of a Sky box, but at the time it only gave you like the other television station. So some people in Ireland who had the box, and normally people who lived in towns could get it easier than people who lived out in the countryside because the trees were too tall near my house where we were, so we couldn't get the reception for it. But they would have known who Jimmy Savile was, or who, unfortunately, whereas I got off scot-free.
Can I just ask, I'm not going to ask you your age, but what era
18.
Are we talking?
I am 18.
Okay.
But frankly, I remember back as far as the 80s because of my witchy ways. So 80s and early 90s.
Okay.
But what's interesting about Ireland, and this is why gigging there is interesting, is you can say the tiniest smidgen of a reference and everyone gets it, because it's very rare to have most people be from, it used to be quite a monocultural country, in that everyone's kind of from Catholic Ireland with mostly two television stations growing up, and everyone has this exact same frame of reference as if everyone's from the same town. Mm-hmm. And that's why you get, I think, the stereotype of Irish people always getting along well and understanding each other. It's because there's only 4.5 million people in the country, mm-hmm. yet we have this sort of loudness of a culture and this...
Like the country is like a town.
Yeah, very much so. Because we were all given the same, there was kind of two newspapers, two mm-hmm. government parties, and they're both pretty much the same.
That must have been amazing in a way.
It kind of is now. I get very fond of it because when I do gigs, like I did this charity gig at the London Irish Centre, which I do a lot of kind of fundraising for, and it was myself, David O'Doherty, and a bando man, who I'm not sure if you know them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did this, like, I called it the Big Dishco. Mm-hmm. And the amount of... sort of my era of emigrants coming over and second generation who knew exactly what all the references were, and it was so glorious to have this one little room where everyone between the ages of 18 and 40 got every reference, except for the English people who are looking around going, what are these mad people up to? And I don't think you do have that in the UK. There'll be certain things like Ant and Dec that everyone will know about, but then there'll be other little shows and pockets and genres, whereas we were kind of forced to watch everything.
And how does that affect things like politics and propaganda? You know, like if there's such a small bandwidth for like putting out messages and or creating subcultures, does stuff get through the net when there's only
now
two channels?
Now it does. What's very interesting is seeing people who are now under 24 or 25 because they've grown up with the Skybox. They've grown up watching stuff on YouTube. They've grown up knowing comedians. You can have your own culture on your iPad beside your parents who are watching the TV now, which is the same in Britain. Whereas up until maybe 7-8 years ago, you had to watch what was on TV that your parents were watching. Yeah. So you kind of grew up with the references, and your parents would know what you're watching, and you would know what they're watching, whether it was boring or not. Whereas now you can have your own tiny world. You can have five different worlds in a house of five people where everyone's watching and having their own interests, which can be good, but you also...
Which sounds like here 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But
and what about the cinema? Was there a cinema in where you lived?
Yeah, but the joke was always like, oh my God, guys, anytime soon Jaws 1 is going to come to the town. What was interesting is the town I'm from is very horsey, but also there's an army barracks in it, and everyone in my class either had family who were involved with the horse racing industry or fathers who were abroad doing peacekeeping forces.
Yeah.
And most of the fathers were in the Lebanon, and in the Lebanon they used to get videos that were sent to them of movies that were only out in America to entertain the troops. So when we used to be so excited about people's fathers coming back and bring like Beethoven's seconds back that we could watch at birthday parties, like it was a big thing whose father would bring back a video from the Lebanon.
Wow.
And we used to watch like things like all that kind of era of movies, like Back to the Futures, those sort of like those kind of movies that we'd see before they'd come out in America, and it was just like this pocket of like movie going.
So what was the the comedy that you grew up watching then was, did you get all the British stuff?
No, not at all. And I still, to this day, only since I've been working in comedy, and especially working in comedy as a stand-up, which is really only the last 5.5 years, I've only started to know big people. I didn't know who any of the big Americans were. The only person I knew was Billy Connolly. The three references I had were Billy Connolly, Tommy Tiernan, and Deirdre O'Kane. Mm-hmm. And Deirdre O'Kane and Tommy Tiernan were on the TV in Ireland all the time.
Yeah.
And so it was 50% men, 50% women, as far as I was concerned. That's how comedy worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone looked like me. They had pale white skin, brown hair. You were a boy or a woman, and you talked anecdotally about stories and people you knew, and that was stand-up.
So, which is exactly your style as well.
Which is
right,
basically, yeah. And it's a very Irish style.
It's funny,
style.
Actually. I hadn't really thought about that, but there is a Tommy Tiernan-esque...
Really? Oh my God, I'd take that.
Definitely. Storytelling and sort of going into the detail, which... In fact, I remember seeing you at...
That's what I like to watch as well.
Yeah.
And I don't watch much comedy. It's not my hobby. Like, MasterChef is my hobby. So I have to really go and watch stuff.
Well, that's good. I think that's healthy, actually. But because then you're more interested in life rather than just obsessed
Maybe,
with your
yeah.
own...
I mean, then there's all sorts of great things. Like, say, James Gill there. James runs an amazing...
Which we plug almost
night.
Every week.
Oh, really? Yeah. Always Be Comedy. Please go find it online.
But it is a brilliant. It is
it
one
really
of the best
is,
ones in
but
London.
It's so, and he's such a joyful compere, but he is obsessed with comedy. He loves comedy. Sarah Pascoe, another example, has always loved comedy. She watches Would I Lie to You to chill out.
Yeah.
I watch anything but something to do with
I've
work
I've become
to chill
like
out.
That. I used to be obsessed with comedy.
Really?
Then it turned me bitter. Then I decided I like watching things about pottery and I'm
the
obsessed
great
with
British
Rick
sewing bee.
Yeah, well, no, I'm obsessed with Rick Stein's travel food shows at the moment.
See,
they
I only like
feel
cooking
so
in a competitive environment. So
oh, really?
I like when someone's going to lose because of the fondant. That's
not
how
someone's
like.
Going to win. That just says everything about you.
James Acaster on Fubar Radio.
Mr. Jeremy Swift, how are you, Jeremy?
I'm very good, thank you, yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Our iPods look almost identical.
They do, they look like, you know, yours, separated at birth.
Yours has got a little dent in it, which means that you've lived more of a life than me, I think.
Hang on, is that...
Can you see that?
Oh, a dent, but yours has got some little scratches on the top and at the bottom.
That is true, mine's more scratchy than yours.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Is that not in a hip-hop way?
No. I wonder why that is. Well, you have maybe kept more better care of yours, but that a dent means that something quite extreme happened to you.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah?
It's my son.
Your son?
Yeah. He kept on before... Because I think I've had that one for a while, and before he got, like, any Nintendo 3DS sort of things when he was younger, he would play games on it and just go crazy pushing the buttons.
Right.
And I went crazy when I thought he'd... Bust it completely. He got very upset.
How old was he?
He was about 6 or 7 when he did that, I think.
Well, that is old enough to get told off for that. That's fair enough. good parenting straight away. How are you feeling about... Are you hoping it's going to... Are you confident?
What, with the playlist?
With the songs on here, what might come up?
There's all sorts of stuff that I have that I sort of think I should have. I do love a wide range of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that I probably wouldn't listen to unless it was on shuffle.
Yeah.
And even then I'd go, oh, no, I listen to that when I'm 70. And there is some... There's the odd thing that I've downloaded for somebody else. Like, there's an Elton John song, which I hate, and I keep meaning to, grey out on my iTunes folder. So I'm slightly pessimistic, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I love music, and there's lots of good stuff on there. I hope it surfaces.
Yeah, those ones that we download for other people are always... They're very tricky.
Yeah.
Or ones that we download... We've got songs on iPod that we don't really want on there, and... I mean, I don't even know why.
It happened.
Yeah, you sort of end up with that, oh yeah, that, I forgot that I own that Cheryl Cole song. And although, to be honest, I'm not embarrassed about that. I do like that one.
What I do now, what I have done for about the last 4 years, is if I hear something like Unsix Music and I think, that's great, I think I'm going to love that, and I download it, I Shazam it and download it immediately. And after about 2 weeks, I think, oh, what's that again? And I play it and I think...
oh God, that's really kind of mediocre. It's got one bit in it that I got excited about, and now it's there.
And you're a Shazammer. That's very.
I am a Shazammer. Yeah,
but I don't know many Shazammers. That's very good. Do you do it a lot? Have you ever done it in an unusual place? Ever heard something?
Well, I have done it in supermarkets and things or whatever. Or that's about as most. Not in toilets or anything like that. I don't think I've ever heard. You know, or lifts or anything.
Yeah.
But it is surprising that, like, because of the digital code. Like when I occasionally listen to a pirate station in the car or something, and I'll pull over and try and Shazam it. And of course, it's a mix, so it doesn't have the digital code, so you can't get it. And you sort of think, oh, that's great, and I'll never hear it again.
Oh, I didn't know that's how Shazam works. You can't, it's digital codes and stuff.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, that is a shame. That's just, you have to actually go out and ask, or you can Google the lyrics, that's what I end up doing.
Yes, that is, yes. But you, yeah. Well, I suppose it has to be that way. You couldn't, you know, Shazam a busker, for example.
you have to pay them quite a lot to Shazam them. They don't get Shazammed for less than the tenner. Right, we'll start off with my iPod. Here we go. Start off with First and Shuffle Now. Okay, that's fairly cool. Outcast with Roses. I was saying to Jeremy, I think that's the first one my iPod's played that is actually a single that people have heard on the radio and would be familiar with, which is nice to show I'm in touch with the common man. It's got a load of pretentious stuff. Ideally, we're plugging your iPod in now.
Yes.
If this wasn't iPod Shuffle and you were in charge of what you got to play from your iPod,
yeah.
What kind of stuff would you play now? What would be the first one you would open on that would be like, maybe if you got some friends around, you want to look cool?
I really like, at the moment, I like a lot of American and Canadian kind of electro kind of poppy bands like Purity Ring and Chairlift.
Right.
And White Oak.
I love hearing bands that I've never heard of before because it always sounds like the names are just the person is making them up.
I know, it's like a parody of John Peel going,
yeah, yeah.
The 12 obstacles. I would have to stick on some Roxy Music, my favourite band ever, and I'm very much of the opinion that I think Roxy's, even by Roxy Music themselves, they keep playing the same sort of, there's a bunch of favourites that people like, and I think there's a whole other side to Roxy Music that is, you know, fantastic and overlooked.
I have never even bothered to get into Roxy Music because they're a band that, like loads of bands, there's loads of bands I haven't bothered to get into because there's so much of a back catalogue. I'm like, I can't, so, and I've only just started listening to Neil Young.
Right.
I'm 30 and I've only just started this because it was just too much, and then eventually I hear enough songs that I like that I start getting into it. What would be the, also, friends have persuaded me that I should listen to him. Anything to persuade me to listen to Roxy Music? I mean, there's loads of people that already have said to me I should do.
Well, I think the first two albums in particular, it's very difficult because I love most of, there's only about three Roxy Music tracks that I don't like.
Right, yeah.
But the second album, just the other day, was the album of the day on Six Music,
right.
For Your Pleasure, is really exciting. It's got great lyrics. It's fun. It's very dark. The second side is kind of, it's got a kind of reggae psychedelic song called The Bogus Man, which goes on for about 10 minutes and is just, I'd never heard anything like it before or since, really.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to download that album tonight. I'm going to do it.
Ooh.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to get into Roxy Music because it's been too long. I've put it off for ages.
Yeah, fantastic.
So let's see if maybe Roxy will be the first track on. We don't know. But here we go. First track from James Swift's Sidebot.
Ooh, what is it? What is it?
The Specials. They're Too Much Too Young. No one's going to look down on that.
I hope not.
You've got an absolute, that is the safest start you could hope for, I think. I Want to Hold Your Hand or something like that. That's done it. You're a big Specials fan, or?
I wasn't a massive Specials fan, but I did like, I loved the, I loved Two Tone at the time. I got the Specials first single, I think, the day or two after it had been played on John Peel. And I never got to see them or Madness. And I thought they were a really powerful band, and loads of clubs did get closed down because of the violence. And that's what they wrote Ghost Town about. And they dealt with right-wingers really. I think it may have been one of their last gigs where they had so many fascists in the audience that they all jumped off stage and ran them out of the auditorium, out through the foyer, and onto the street.
Well,
that is That is hard.
You don't get that much nowadays.
No, you wouldn't get James Blunt doing that.
Yeah. Someone told me about a Rage Against the Machine gig in Belfast where they got the crowd riled up and were like, you know, let's go and show the police what we think of them after the show.
God.
But then as they came out, the police had already, like, just surrounded the... They were just all there, apparently in full force. Wow. And everyone just walked out, saw the police, and decided to do nothing and just walked home.
Yeah, sorry, I just got overexcited. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, I didn't mean... When I said, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, I meant I will do what you tell me if there's enough of you, and I will go home.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
I've got the RH experience with me.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Connor and Luke.
Hey.
It is indeed.
Which one is which for people to recognise the voices?
I think I'm Luke.
And I know I'm Connor.
It's good to have some certainty.
I'm the ill-sounding one. I'm going to try and not sniff for the next
two hours. Well, I'm a bit ill too. I don't know why I'm drinking beer even though...
Oh. I'm at peak physical fitness.
That's good for you. Next up, we're going to be playing songs about sex. Connor, would you like to introduce the song about sex that you have chosen?
I would love to. I have chosen it for me and for Luke, because it's the one that we listen to when we do it. It is D'Angelo's How Does It Feel? I can stop the feeling,
what the hell was that?
What do you mean, what the hell was that?
I'm feeling chilled now.
I'm feeling chilled. Yeah. That's the opposite of what we want, isn't it, really?
So, Connor, you said that this song is actually, like, the real version is 7 minutes
it's
long.
It's there, yeah, I think it's thereabouts. But, I mean, the whole album is basically that song for an hour. It's, you know, it doesn't really deviate from that.
Yeah.
But it's doing, you know, it's doing what it says on the tin.
Shall we have a look at these lyrics?
Let's definitely have a look
so
at
those. So how does it feel?
I mean, well, most of this says how does it feel.
I think that's what's nice, is he's definitely checking in. You know, it's very consensual. He's definitely checking in a lot.
I get to the end of the song and I'm like, well, what's the answer?
Yeah. Oh.
How does it feel?
Like, what did they say?
Yeah. So maybe he actually spends 7 minutes busking and never gets an answer.
Aren't they unconscious?
Yeah. Yeah, he's bored them to death, actually. He's done so much talking that very little sex has actually happened. And that's assuming it's about sex. We don't know it's actually about sex. He could be, you know... He could have a brand new puppy and he could be asking his friend, how does the dog's coat feel, you know, or whatever. He could be just, how does it feel outside right now? Do I need a coat?
I mean, it is about sex. You're like, is it about sex? And I was just reading through the lyrics.
Well,
and
I thought we'd get to that. I thought we'd, you know.
Yeah. There is one line that I'm like, yep, this is about sex. Yeah.
Is it the third from last line?
It is.
No. Is it the in between your thighs?
It's the...
Oh, where's that?
I'd love to make you wet in between your thighs because I love when it comes inside you.
Wow.
I get so excited when I'm around you.
I missed that bit.
Yeah.
That's you. I like the fact that it's spelled you.
Yeah. You. Oh, yeah. Whatever website these lyrics are from, it's you. Capital U.
Capital U.
That is just the letter U.
He is filthier in other songs, I should say.
Wow.
So he's holding back here.
I'd love to know at the end. At the end, he's asking her to close the door. Well, girl, I have something I want to show you.
Well, maybe in the 7 minute version, we'd find out.
And then he does go on to say, I want to take the walls down with you, which, I mean, this song could be about DIY.
Well, I was going to say it could be about the ballerina.
So,
I
want to
put some mirrors up.
Yeah,
I want to take the walls down and put some mirrors up.
How does it feel in front of these mirrors?
I love it. That's the dirtiest bit in it. I wonder if it gets dirtier. I kind of like want to get up the lyrics for.
I mean, I'm gonna take a punt here and just guess that it's just an edition of How Does It Feel for another 20
verses.
I just want to see if the other lyrics are like dirtier.
They pop straight up.
They're right there.
That is also an album cover I've never seen.
That is all the lyrics.
Oh, that's all the lyrics we get on. Is this? Is it this? No, it's this one.
Yeah, it's that one. It's D'Angelo. There he is.
No, that's it.
So it's just extended.
Then what?
I think there may be.
What happens for the rest of the song?
Well, I can't quite remember. I feel like there might be a little bit of a solo in terms of there might be a sax or a guitar solo. I can't remember. It's been a little while since I've played it. But also, a lot of the time when I'm playing it, I'm not paying too much attention to the words.
How often do you listen to this song?
I actually was listening to this while I was working today. I say working with an O and an R, not an A and an N. So I listen to this album a lot. It's very good.
Sorry, I'm getting very distracted by the website that you're currently on, Hannah.
Like, on the What website did I click on?
We can see the screen that Hannah's looking at, and there's two like sort of reviews of the song on the site.
Oh my God, what do the reviews say? It's
good. Why does the song abruptly stop out of nowhere?
Somebody's replied.
I wondered the same thing myself, but it really bugs you. There are services online that can help you fade out the end of the song the way radio usually might.
I love that. That's really they've listened to this song and that's what's bugged them the most.
Well, there is a 7-minute version somewhere, so
wow,
you can find it. Don't
find it somewhere. Hold on, let's find it.
Intensity in his lushly multi-tracked vocal performance. Apparently God, I mean, sounds like she's having her own experience.
I'm just googling. How does it feel? 7 minutes.
How does it feel for 7 minutes?
That's never a good thing to put into Google.
Wow,
that's
seven
not
minutes before death. I mean, if you just go on the album, that's
an
all
extended
you need.
Version.
Oh, maybe it's the album.
That's what
version.
It is. I think he just adds a little solo in there. I think that's all there is to it.
It's a journal of musical things, top 10 songs over 7 minutes long.
There you go.
Oh, there we go.
In line with Stairway to Heaven by Zeppelin, which, I don't know, is probably not the sexiest of tunes.
Maybe not. Good.
Good. That was good. I will be listening to that when
there's nothing much to say. There's not many of the lyrics except to how does it feel.
I'm sorry. Did I do?
Badly, this is great. This is great. Oh, I want to know
next time.
The other thing is, why did you pick this song? Have you had sex to this song? Do you want to have sex to this song?
We had sex to this song.
We have. Yeah, we have. I have. And we all will at the end of this show. Yes, I probably have. I don't know if
is it just on a playlist.
It's on a playlist called. Yeah, it's on a playlist. Called Not Safe for Work, actually. And I've heard someone have sex to this song.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you hear how it felt?
I've heard a neighbour have. Yeah, it felt great.
Did you end?
Wait, were they listening to the song and having sex, or were you listening to the song and they were having sex?
They were listening to after I had listened to the song having sex. I think they may have been listening to me and then copied me. Just saying, maybe
I've done that before.
But I don't think I'm the first person to ever have sex to this song.
No,
I don't think. But
been done before.
Probably. I mean, it's not the most subtle of choices, I think some would say.
It's not very nuanced.
It's not, is it?
It's not. Oh, my God, amazing.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Guys, I've just been told that we have Noel Clark on the line.
Wow.
He's live from the set of where he is. So we're just going to pop over to him and get a bit of gossip. Noelington, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
Are you with
it?
Hey, baby.
I'm keeping your seat nice and warm. Don't worry, I've got your seat nice and warm.
Well, this is Kevin Freshwater.
Hello.
He's filling in for you.
How's it going? You all right?
I'm good.
I'm keeping your seat nice and warm. It's all right. I've got it toasty for you when you get
that
back.
That fucking chair gives me trouble, mate. Yeah.
Every week, Noel breaks the bloody chair. Where are you? What's happening with you? Where are you?
Mate, I'm in the middle of fucking buttfuck nowhere, mate. I've got trees everywhere. Fucking trees everywhere. It's dark. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I'm on set. I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, is it a secret? Hush. Okay.
Well, it's secret. You know, we're a film show. We talk about films and shit like that. And, you know, sometimes... But, you know, my other job is when I'm actually on the films... I can't tell you where I am. But when I'm not on the films and I'm on the show, I can tell you every fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Need to know basis.
So you're filming outside.
In the dark.
We can,
in buckfuck nowhere.
That could mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. Basically now, if this was Blair Witch 3, I'd believe it. I'm like fucking the trees and branches and shit in front of me. But I come outside to make sure I get on the show.
Daddy's back next week.
That is emotional.
Daddy's back next week.
Daddy? Fuck it, I love that.
Who's your daddy?
Daddy, mate.
Radio daddy.
My mum loves it as well.
She's already emailed in.
My mum's already emailed in today. She's on it.
What's she saying today?
She wanted to get a shout out.
Oh, mate.
Which I did.
Mrs. White, you know that daddy's going to be back with a big bar of chocolate in the new year. You and your daughter, so it's all good.
Can everyone stop hitting on my mum today?
I need to see a photo.
She needs a bit. So what happened? What did you review today? What films are you talking about today?
I went to see Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, sounds terrible.
No, my God, no. It's the Oscar nominated. Come on, Noel.
Oh, great. Should be getting that in my membership selection soon then.
No, absolutely. And, like, I went, you know, just trying to be open-minded, and it was really good. Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's little brother, is like the lead guy, and then Michelle Williams.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you can see I obviously don't keep up to date when I'm not actually on the show.
You're in the woods.
I'm in the woods, mate.
Literally.
Fucking Blair Witch. What else is happening?
I also went to see a screening of The Room.
The film you're talking about is supposedly the worst film ever
The worst made. Film ever made, and it gets shown once a month in London. It's a comedy screening, and it was an amazing experience. Everyone was heckling and shouting and laughing and ad-libbing. Mm. It was actually a really good night out.
Oh, brilliant.
And you, here's a bit of movie trivia for you guys. There's a film that we're doing at the minute called 10x10, which is being announced as starring Luke Evans and Kelly Riley. And the name of that film used to be called what? Why did we have to change the name? What was it called?
The Room.
It was called The Room. People thought that, yeah. People thought that the rub of, firstly, the shittest film of all time, called The Room, and also the fact that there was an Oscar film called Room. Meant
is that the one with the little girl? The Oscar one? Yeah, that was good.
It's actually a little boy, I think.
I remember. They had long hair.
It's a little boy with long hair.
Yeah.
2016, mate. Boys can have long hair too.
I know, I've got long hair. Curly long hair.
Stay home and chill. Keeping you company during the coronavirus.